right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.
This is the Quality News Network. Saudi Arabian leaders say they would eagerly welcome an international peace conference proposed by the U.S. for later this year. The conference is meant to revive peace talks stalled for the last 6 years. Israel, the Palestinians, and moderate Arab states will be included. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates arrived in the Middle East yesterday for a regional tour. President Bush could decide to claim executive privilege to prevent two more White House aides from testifying before Congress concerning the firings of several federal prosecutors. Tomorrow is the deadline for testimony from White House top political adviser Karl Rove. White House political aide J. Scott Jennings was also subpoenaed. The main Sunni Arab political bloc quit the new Iraqi government today, leaving behind the vice president and one cabinet member. White House spokesman Tony Snow says reconciliation efforts are being made. A series of car bomb blasts rocked Baghdad today, killing at least 70 people, 100 wounded. Three large bombs exploded in several crowded districts. The largest blast was that of a truck bomb, which exploded near a filling station west of the city. Also near Baghdad today, a roadside bomb struck a military convoy, killing three U.S. troops and wounding six more. Afghan forces dropped leaflets over parts of southern Afghanistan in an attempt to alert its citizens of current military action to free 21 South Korean hostages being held by the Taliban. Those hostages still being held in eastern Afghanistan. One NATO soldier was killed in an unrelated battle. Another one was wounded. Former U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says the family of Pat Tillman deserved the truth regarding his death by friendly fire in Afghanistan. Rumsfeld testified today about the Pentagon's role in the incident, denying any cover-up by the military in handling the investigation. In North Carolina, the state's former House Speaker was fined $1 million after admitting he paid a former lawmaker to vote for his reelection as Speaker. Jim Black began serving a 5-year federal prison sentence in the same case this week. Associated Press says a state study reveals Florida's optical scan voting machines remain vulnerable to tampering. We'll take a look at science and business news. That's just ahead. Now this.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Deep brain stimulation with the use of electrodes is being accredited with the partial recovery of brain-injured patients. Results from a recently published research study in the science magazine Nature indicate possible long-term benefits from electrical pulses sent deep into affected areas of the brain. A 12-year study by Japanese health researchers says women may cut in half their risk of colon cancer by drinking at least 3 cups of coffee a day. Scientists say consuming caffeine did not offer the same benefit to men. California is warning consumers not to eat ginger imported from China because it may contain dangerous pesticides. The ginger distributed by a Gilroy company was sold to Albertsons and Save Mart stores. Authorities in the UK have fined British Airways $550 million for conspiring to fix fuel surcharges. Virgin Atlantic called authorities when British Air contacted it about the price-fixing deal. The U.S. Justice Department has also fined British Airways $300 million in connection with the illegal scheme. The fines effectively end the civil case against the airline, but a criminal investigation into the matter continues. Light sweet crude at $76.53 a barrel. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 155 points. There's always more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. As most of you know, I have a blog at RadioInsideScoop.com, and a lot of you like to write on the blog, and I would encourage you to do more of it. We get into some very interesting discussions there on a wide variety of issues. And sometimes folks like to click that email Mark button on my website and talk to me privately and let me know your views on one issue or another. And every now and then I get a listener who feels so passionately about an issue and disagrees with me strongly on an issue that we start a discussion that spills over into the radio show. Such a thing happened with someone who's not an ordinary listener. He is, in fact, the chief news ninja for the Horn. Someone I have tremendous respect for, Gene Shinai. Gene sent me an email a few days ago on the Christian right and their support of the State of Israel. And we got into an email discussion back and forth. And I said, Gene, you know what? This is the kind of topic that really should have a much broader discussion than just a few emails back and forth. It should be done in public. And frankly, even where people at the Head-On Radio Network disagree, I think it's good for the soul for us to hash it out. We're not like the right. We are not a monolith. We can disagree and do so respectfully and passionately. And actually, I think we may even find that we have more to agree on than to disagree on a number of issues. So, Gene Shinai, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be with you.
Why don't you start and give for me your perspective on what you think the issue is, the problem is, and I'll just go ahead and give you the first word.
Okay. I'm feeling that the Christian right should not, that Israel should not rely on the Christian right.
That Israel should not rely on the Christian right.
Yeah, for support. And it seems to me that that the Christian right has cultivated its links with Israel, and I can understand a Christian interest in Israel, although I have interesting things about there, but to go ahead and accept Christian right support for Israel's existence, I have a problem with. I think Israel has a right to exist independent of what the Christian right thinks.
Well, tell you what, let's start by giving some facts to our listeners. And I don't think, Gene, you and I disagree on the facts. So let's try to get them out there. And if you disagree with me on these, please let me know and we'll talk about it. The Christian right we're mostly talking about is evangelical Americans. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there are others across the globe who have a pretty strict fundamentalist philosophy. These are people who disagree with progressives on a whole host of issues. They tend to be anti-choice for women. They tend to be anti-gay. They tend to say things like, if you don't believe in Christ, you're going to hell. Yeah. They tend to be against evolution, against a whole bunch of things. There are some things, I think, that they agree with progressives on. A lot of times they're pro-environmentalist. Some of them are very much pro-caring for the poor. So I don't think that they're 100% demons, but they certainly disagree with many, many things that you and I, Gene, hold dear.
Mm-hmm.
So far we agree, right?
So far, yeah.
Okay. Now, they many Christian fundamentalists, particularly in recent years, but certainly it's increased over time, have a very strong support for the State of Israel. They are Zionists. They believe in the existence of a Jewish state,
mm-hmm.
and they want to support the Jewish state. And they do so for reasons that you and I might find troubling.
Yes.
Many of them believe at the end of times that Jesus Christ will come back to a second coming, that he'll arrive in the land of Israel. And at that time, or perhaps even before that time, if all Jews in the world move to the land of Israel or go to the land of Israel, it might hasten the coming of Jesus one more time, where he will come rendering, I believe, a sword, and those that aren't saved will be left behind, and there can be an apocalypse or something on earth. I don't claim to understand it all, but many of them support Israel for this very strange eschatological, meaning end of days reason.
Yes.
We agree so far?
So far, we agree.
Okay. So that's just the facts. That's just the outline. We haven't talked about, you know, why we think one view or the other, but that's the facts. Many Christians support Israel for reasons that Gene and I think are the wrong reasons. And we agree on that, that they support Israel for the wrong reasons. Where Gene and I will probably part company today. And where you may part company with me or with Gene, and I want to encourage folks to call in and agree with Gene or me or disagree with both of us, that's fine, is what Israel should do about that. Should Israel accept help, money, support, tourism from people who believe, in effect, that support of Israel is necessary for their religious views, for an end-of-days, apocalyptic-type revelations thing? Or should Israel reject these people? I'm not sure what you're asking them to do, Gene. Are you saying that they should actively distance themselves from them, not meet with them, not accept their money? What are you asking Israel to do?
I guess I would say that this is how I would feel about it. If they're so, I would generally ask them to not accept the money, but if the Christian Zionists are heck bent on moving to Israel, then they should convert.
To Judaism?
Judaism. They should really convert to Judaism and give up the end of times eschatology and just be good Jews.
Okay. Well, they're obviously not going to do that.
But you asked me what I'd like to see them do, but
right.
Anyway.
I mean, and you think if they don't do that, Israel should not take their money, not...
I don't think Israel should allow them in the country and...
Don't even allow them as tourists, Gene?
Well, tourists is fine, but as far as letting them go and start settlements, living there on an ongoing basis, and putting efforts toward changing the structure of the Temple Mount or Noble Sanctuary.
Well, let's deal with those issues because I think those are more serious issues. First of all, my impression, this is maybe where we disagree on the facts,
okay,
is that the great, great majority of these American fundamentalist Christians, 99% plus, have no intention of moving to the land of Israel. They support it with money. They certainly come in massive droves as tourists. There's no question that there are more Christian than Jewish tourists to Israel, and that even from the United States, there are more Christians than Jews that visit Israel. It's a very heavy tourism, and if you've ever been to Israel, all you have to do is go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or the Sea of Galilee and see Jesus tours all over the place.
Yeah.
So I think they mostly support with tourism dollars. I'm not aware of a massive movement or even a very small movement, maybe you are, of American Christians that have moved to settlements or that are trying to undermine the mosque on the Temple Mount. In my view, anyone that tries to undermine a nation's foreign policy, whether they be Jews in settlements or Christians in settlements, or Israel has a very clear policy with regard to the Temple Mount.
Mm-hmm.
I don't support anyone undermining it from any step. But I'm not convinced, and maybe you can tell me I'm wrong, that there's a large number of American Christians that are going to that step. Do you know something I don't know?
Well, let me throw up some links here. There's a couple of situations that I really find troubling. And first of all, let's go ahead and just define what, or put up a definition of, and I apologize for the long page, but... As I understand it, Christian Zionism, as we stated before, is indeed the idea that Israel has to be the temple has to be restored,
right?
And everybody goes back there. Israel is gathered from the nations, and they all go back
I don't dispute any of that, Gene. I think that is their ultimate goal, but do you think they're doing anything on the ground to accomplish that goal? I mean, look,
Jews
are preaching. Do you? Okay.
That's the next link. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me how. Because, look, I was just going to say, Jews have preached the coming of the Messiah for 3,000 years. Christians have preached the second coming of Jesus for 2,000 years. It's something that we learn in our churches and synagogues. Many of us don't really believe it's actually going to happen. But I don't see Christians planting bombs under the you know, the Golden Mosque, and frankly, if they did, I'd obviously be opposed to that. I mean, I don't. What? How are they causing problems in your view?
Well, here's how I feel, and I'm looking at some statements by John Hagee, and basically he is kind of, and let me see if I can find the statement here. Ah, crud. I get the impression from the reading that he's encouraged the settlement. I know he's given money for settlement.
I'm sure he has. I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's encouraged the settlements. That doesn't surprise me.
But okay, go ahead.
I'm not just going to say, you know, there are people all over the world, and certainly people in Israel, of different views. In Israel, there are many who give money to support the settlements, and there are many who oppose the settlements. The Christians in America and around the world who support them and who oppose them. I guess I don't see any significant difference between what they're doing and what anyone does. Some people agree with Israeli policy and some disagree, but I don't see why they're... I mean, just to give you an example. If I don't know, the Ku Klux Klan, and they don't, but because they hate Jews, but if they wanted to give money to Israel, I'd be absolutely with you and say Israel shouldn't accept money from them. I don't see the Christian right in that same context. I see them as a little loony. I see them as dangerous on a number of other things I agree with, like gay rights and women's rights. But I don't see them importing into Israel their anti-gay philosophy, for example, or their anti-women philosophy. I mean, they don't give money to Hadassah Hospital because they conduct abortions. But I guess at the end of the day, I think they don't harm Israel. I don't see the harm.
That
convinced me.
I disagree with you because I think as when and I know there are Christians that have filled there, and I'm working on finding my links and such.
I'll tell you what, Gene, why don't we take a break?
Okay.
And you can go find your links, and I'm willing to have you on. And I know Bob Kincaid wants to join in this discussion as well, and I like that. I think the more discussion, the better. So we'll be back with Bob Kincaid taking me on, as well as Gene finding his links. And if y'all want to call in as well, the more the merrier. It's 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. And we'll have a good roundtable discussion on this topic. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yeah, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There is a large and increasingly growing number of fundamentalist evangelical Christians who support the state of Israel, and they do so for interesting reasons. They believe the end of times will come, that Jesus will return to earth, and that Israel and Jews in Israel is essential to that doctrine happening. In fact, many of them are what are called dispensationalists. Thank you, by the way, whoever sent me the article through the chat room. And in fact, do not believe in conversion of the Jews until that second coming of Jesus. Now, Gene Shinai argues that it's very dangerous for Israel to accept help from these people. I don't really see the problem. And Bob Kincaid, our co-host, our host on Head On Radio Network, all of you know Bob very well. He has his two cents on the issue. Bob, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you very kindly. You just did, the reason I had to chime in was you said something in your conversation with Gene just a couple of moments ago to the effect that, you know, they're not actually doing anything to try to make the apocalypse come, are they? And the fact of the matter is, Mark, they are. There are a group of fundamentalist. I have a hard time calling these people Christians. But there are a group of fundamentalists.
Call them self-proclaimed Christians,
yeah,
if you want.
I call them fundies.
Okay, that's fine.
there are a gang of fundies out there that are actively funding genetic research to, and you'll speak to this better than I can because I don't know where it falls in Jewish eschatology. But they're funding the genetic attempt to create a pure red heifer for what, temple purification purposes?
Yeah,
or something?
Let me explain that, because the red heifer is a very interesting thing, and I'll be happy to explain it. After the destruction of the temple in 70, as Jews say, CE of the common era, as Christians say, AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, 70 years or so after, actually probably 74 years after the birth of Jesus. But in any case, the year 70, the Romans destroyed the great Jewish temple after the Jewish revolt, and they took it apart piece by piece. Now, since that time, there have been several other things that have been on the Temple Mount. In fact, there was a very large Byzantine church, and then there was basically a waste dump for many years under Byzantine rule. And then the great Dome of the Rock was built there, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and so forth. Until 1967, Jews were largely forbidden from going to the Temple Mount. They were forbidden by the authorities, whether they be Christian or Muslim or Roman or anyone, because they were afraid really of a political insurrection. Around the time, about 500 years or so after the destruction of the temple, the Jews came up with this wonderful theory, which I would be the first to argue was done more for historical, political, than religious reasons. But in the Talmud, it says, in effect, Jews are prohibited from going on the Temple Mount because it can't be purified. And it can't be purified until there is a specific kind of red heifer, a kind of calf, a very specific kind that they sacrificed that was used in purity rituals. And they said, until we find that, and apparently the genetic red heifer has not been known since for 2,000 years, since the time of the Second Temple, since we can't find that heifer, we can't purify the land, we can't rebuild the temple.
In other words, setting up a paradox.
Well, exactly. What they said is, in fact, this animal is extinct, like the dodo bird. Therefore, even though obviously it's a tenet of Jewish law at the end of times, just as much as, in fact, even more so than Christianity, it comes from Jewish law, the temple will be rebuilt, the Messiah will come. That's very much Jewish end of days stuff too. The Christians didn't get this out of nowhere, because for, I would argue, they said for political reasons, it would be dangerous for Jews to try to build a temple there because they'd all be killed. They set up this religious doctrine saying you need to have the red heifer in order to purify the land. Now let me be clear to the Jews who made this up in the Talmud. This isn't political at all. It's religious. They're doing it because that's what's religiously required. I'm the one saying, as a historian, I think they did it for political reasons.
I understand. I understand all that, and a lot of it makes sense to me. Unfortunately, when you're dealing with fundies, Mark, you're dealing with people who do not truck in reality, and
right.
They do not truck in that kind of historical analysis. Fundies, and see, I'm. Frankly, I view and I don't mean to tread on Gene's discussion, and I'm going to bow out of this pretty quick.
Oh, that's fine.
But Israel messing around with fundies in America is, do you realize that during the rise of the Third Reich that Himmler had a core group of German Jews that he consulted with on mysticism? Now, this is before the death camps got started and everything, but yeah, those people were there. This is the same scenario.
I wasn't aware of that.
This is the same scenario, Mark.
I don't see it as the same.
Because these people are insane, okay? I mean, bad, crazy, criminally
okay.
Lock them up insane. And yeah. And they will, what is Israel going to do? Because, you know, who the Messiah is the eternal question both for Jews and Christians. We think, we say, oh, it was Jesus. Obviously, it was Jesus. There were 14 dozen messiahs when Jesus happened. And
no question.
As far as a Messiah coming back, all it is up to one fundy to say, oh, it's him. And next thing, and he can, because it and I don't think, you know, we're going to have Thomas Shoemaker, a videographer, on the show this evening. And he was the videographer for the new film that Max Blumenthal did at the Christians United for Israel conference. And you've got these people saying, well, you know, when the Messiah comes back, this happens, this happens, this happens. Well, one of the things that they don't like to say publicly, because it's one of their deep, dark, and dirty little secrets, is that when the Messiah comes back, they get to start putting Jews to the sword for Jesus. Okay? Now,
Bob, here's the thing.
Dor Gold, the Israeli ambassador, said, well, there's nobody out there that's trying to advance their eschatology by forcing the end of times except Ahmadinejad. And clearly he doesn't know the fundies that he's hanging out with, because that's their whole thing, is to force, you know, drag Jesus out of the clouds and make him come back. That's why they want this war with Iran.
You know, Bob, I hear what you're saying, and I don't dispute any of your facts. I don't know about the similar thing, but in general about Christian fundies, I don't dispute that they support Israel for the wrong reasons. Okay? I mean, I agree. I accept that fact. What I don't see, I guess, is the harm. If they, for example, were to go to the Temple Mount and try to plant a bomb under the Dome of the Rock, obviously anyone trying to do that should be immediately arrested, tried, and put in jail for a very long time. If they try any kind of violence or anything like that, obviously they should be punished, just like anybody.
Yeah, but who gets to
suffer?
But
religion has weird ideas. I mean,
religion's weird.
Religion's weird, has weird ideas. All religions have weird ideas, and it just seems to me that I'm not going to attack. I mean, you know, some of the Mormon stuff is really weird, frankly, in America.
Oh, don't get me started.
I mean, they believe that everyone has their own universe that they control. But I'm not out. I'm not saying that, Mormons should be discriminated against. The way I see it is people have weird ideas in religion. And as long as, the Ambassador Gold, as long as they're not harming anybody, I don't care what whacked out ideas you have. I don't share the ideas. I may argue the ideas. But, if I can join cause with fundies for environmentalism or for poverty issues, I'll join cause with them, even though I completely reject their views on gay rights or women's rights.
I have to beg to differ, and I'll back away for a second here. But I have to beg to differ, Mark, because this is going. There are completely innocent, decent human beings all over Israel. So at some point, one of these fundies is going to go nuts. and start slaughtering them for Jesus. I would think that 2,000 years of history of insane Christians suddenly going nuts and beginning to slaughter indiscriminately slaughter Jews for Jesus would say that the people of Israel would go, holy crap, no, we've been to this movie before. We know how it ends.
Bob, look, there was an insane
Jew. It's going to happen again.
There was an insane Jew who killed Rabin and one who killed a bunch of Muslims praying in the temple of in Hebron. There's certainly any number of insane Muslims that have strapped suicide bombers on. In fact, there was an Australian tourist. You may not be aware of this.
Yeah, but in none of those occasions is anybody trying to sit down and actively do business with them by the thousands.
No, but here's my point. There was an Australian Christian, American. Australian Christian who actually brought a, this is back in the 70s, brought a bomb into the Al-Aqsa Mosque and exploded it. And he was determined to be mentally ill and was, you know, put in an asylum and probably is still there today. This may be where you and I and Gene disagree. I don't think if some crazy Christian starts murdering people like crazy Jews have done and crazy Muslims have done, I don't think they're going to get a huge amount of support in the fundamentalist community. That may be where you and I differ.
Dude, I grew up in it. I got to tell you, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You think people will support that?
Yes.
Gene, you agree. You think that if some crazy Muslim starts killing a
bunch of people... I'm bowing out, Mark. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bob, for joining the discussion. Gene, you think if some
crazy
mentally ill fundy starts killing a bunch of Jews in Israel, that he will get support in the Christian world?
Well...
I don't think so.
I think he will. I think he will get support among some quarters. Now you mentioned you text Rabin and his assassination.
They're crazy people everywhere.
Oh, I know. But you see, I'm going to go ahead and regarding Reverend Hagee specifically, that was featured in the Lewenthal.
John Hagee, the leader of the Christian Zionist CUFI, Christians United for Israel.
Yeah. See, he took that assassination attempt as proof that this was the beginning of the end times. And this is how I feel about this whole thing. I really feel as though the Christian Zionists and the right-wing Christians in general are pushing this end times theology not just to Israel but through our own country. And I really think, see, your question is, when you mention that, would anybody support somebody who's mentally ill? We would look at it as mental illness. The Christian right would look at it as, oh, well, this is justified.
See, I'm not so sure. I think, and maybe it has to happen, unfortunately, but I do know of this specific case, and if we take another break, I'll find it, where there was an Australian Christian tourist who bombed a Muslim site on the Temple Mount, and the world didn't fall apart. They didn't lead to World War III. Israel captured him, tried him, put him in a home for the criminally insane, and the Christian world didn't revolt. I guess what I'm trying to say is, look, I disagree with any number of things John Hagee says, as I do with a number of religious leaders of all stripes. But it seems to me that if I can agree with him and join with him on some things, I don't see the danger. I just don't see, you know, and that's obviously that's where we disagree. I know that Susan wants to join in this discussion as well. And I'll be happy to have her. We need to take a break. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll join in with Susan and others and anyone else who wants to call in. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Unbelievably, the Democratic leadership in Congress seems about to cave into Bush and grant him, of all things, more power to spy on Americans. This even as Alberto Gonzalez continues to dissemble about the spying that's already been going on. But whenever Bush lights the scare fluid, the Democrats jump back in fear. In his Saturday radio address, Bush said, Congress needs to act immediately to pass this bill so that our national security professionals can close intelligence gaps and provide critical warning time for our country. Bush said that FISA was passed nearly 30 years ago and it hasn't kept up with new technological developments. He conveniently failed to note that FISA has been updated 50 times over those last 30 years, 20 times since September 11th. This smokescreen is designed to obscure the fact that Bush wants the NSA now to have the right to scoop up all our international phone and email communications, even without a warrant. That was the essence of Bush's illegal wiretapping scandal in the first place, and now the Democratic leaders appear ready to give it their retroactive blessing. Not Russ Feingold, however. He properly calls this an egregious power grab. But that's what Bush is best at, and what the Democratic leaders are so complicit in. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Stand by your man. If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're having a very interesting discussion on the Christian right in Israel. One of the things I learned working for Congressman Barney Frank and the Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee was that sometimes you have to take alliances in strange places. The famous saying, politics makes strange bedfellows. And I once talked about this with Congressman Frank and with some other Democrats, and they said, look, you know, if we can join with Tom DeLay, to speak of someone who's particularly evil, on an issue that would protect the environment or would protect children's health care or would protect some issue we care about, we'll do it, even though we violently disagree with him on other issues, because frankly you have to join sometimes with alliances with people that you disagree with. I've got Malin on the line, too. We're going to have a great discussion. And Susan as well. We're going to get to all of you. Before I do that, though, I want to tell you the story, and I can invite all of you to go to the Wikipedia and look up Michael Dennis Rohan. Just look up Rohan, R-O-H-A-N. Let me tell you about Michael Dennis Rohan. He's an Australian citizen, a Christian, who on August 21st, 1969, he attempted to set fire. Excuse me, it wasn't a bomb, but I basically remembered it. He attempted to set fire to the Al-Aqsa Mosque located atop the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. According to Rohan, a fundamentalist Christian, he said he was the Lord's emissary, that he was acting upon divine instructions in accordance with the book of Zechariah. He said he had to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque in order to enable the Jews to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount and thus hasten the second coming of Jesus as Messiah. He did so based in part on an article, he said, in The Plain Truth, which was sort of a fundy magazine, by Herbert Armstrong, a Christian fundamentalist leader. When after the fire, and he was captured and put in an insane asylum in Israel, Armstrong disavowed him, Dennis Rohan, Michael Dennis Rohan, and said that he's an arsonist. He claims to be identified with us. This claim is totally false, he wrote in all caps and all italics. And in fact, afterwards even dropped a claim to rebuilding a physical temple. So the Christians actually disavowed Dennis Rohan. Now the Arab reaction was different. The Arab reaction was to blame it on a Jewish conspiracy and to claim that Israel had put Rohan up to it, and they continue to make that claim. This is all in the Wikipedia article. I just read it in the break. The last thing I want to say is the official Israeli policy toward the Temple Mount, according to the Israeli chief rabbinate, is that they can't know exactly where the temple building is located, and therefore there can be no rebuilding of the third temple. In other words, the more moderate Jewish rabbinate, and not obviously, understand there are radical settlers out there, but the moderate position, the position held by the chief rabbinate, is that there can be no building of the third temple. All right, now, I've said what I have to say. A lot of you, I know, want to talk. Let me go to Susan first, and then I'll go to Malin. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
I just want to bring up one point.
Okay.
Without exception, every neo-Nazi in this country, you scratch him, you find a fundamentalist Christian. Now, that should make an Israeli or any Jew really, really nervous. They're organized, and they're armed, and they're metering a stepped-on snake.
Well, Susan, I distinguish among them. I mean, first of all, I don't think every neo-Nazi is a fundamentalist Christian. There are neo-Nazis that have no belief in Christianity. And I certainly don't think every fundamentalist Christian is a neo-Nazi. Yes, there are some. There's Aryan Nations up in the panhandle of Idaho, and of them, I agree with every word you say. They're extremely dangerous. They're fundamentalist Christian. They're anti-Semitic. They're murderous. But that's certainly not true of all fundamentalist Christians, is it?
I'm saying neo-Nazis. They gravitate to the fundamentalist religion.
Some do, yeah.
I'm a little bit more pragmatic than Gene. Go ahead and take their money. But don't make them any promises and never, ever, ever turn your back on them.
See, I don't think Israel does make them any promises.
You in that back.
I really don't think Israel makes any promises. They do take their money. They certainly meet with them when they come to Israel. They meet with the groups, they help promote tourism, no question. They definitely put out their tour packages among the Christian fundamentalists. But I think that's all Israel does. I don't think Israel's giving them any quid for their quo. So I think, Susan, that's exactly what they're doing, which is why I don't have a problem.
I also have to say there's one other truism.
Yeah.
My mama used to always hand this to me, and it drove me crazy. So I'm gonna do the same to you.
Okay.
You lie down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. Beware of the people you associate, because if you associate with rabid fundamentalists, people will start thinking that's exactly what you are, whether you are or not.
I hear what you're saying, Susan, and I'll agree with you when you say Israel shouldn't turn their back on them. You know, in other words, watch them very carefully. Obviously, if any of them start approaching the Temple Mount with a bomb, they need to watch them carefully. But, you know, look, right now, as all of you know, I've accepted a gig on Press TV, Iranian-sponsored television. Now, I am no fan of Ahmadinejad. I, frankly, am more scared of him than the fundamentalists. I agree with Ambassador Gold on that one. But on the other hand, I'm lying down with dogs, but I'm hoping to come out without fleas because I'm keeping myself pure. I'm not being censored. I say what I mean to say. And I think Israel can do the same.
That's not lying down with them. That's dialogue.
Well,
what I'm saying,
okay.
Yeah, what I'm saying is if these neo-Nazis, and to me, they're all neo-Nazis.
Really? They're all neo-Nazis? Let me just stop you there, Susan. You're not saying all Christian fundamentalists are neo-Nazis, are you really?
I'm not saying all Christians are.
But even all Christian fundamentalists. Look, I have a Christian fundamentalist that's been on my blog for 2 years. Her name is Vicky. She lives in upstate New York. She and I disagree on a number of issues, most profoundly about abortion. She thinks it's murder, and she and I will never agree on a woman's right to choose ever.
But does she countenance blowing away abortion doctors in that case?
No, she doesn't.
Agreeing with the Nazis.
She doesn't.
But
she doesn't.
Okay.
She doesn't believe in any murder.
Okay. I'm speaking in hyperbole.
I think you are a bit.
Yeah.
But that's my point. I don't want to stigmatize anyone. Look, I have my differences, no question, with the fundies. I can go on and on for days about my differences with them, all right? They're strong. But at the same time, I'm not going to call them neo-Nazis. I don't believe that 90% of them want genocide. Maybe 10% do, maybe not even that much. I don't even think that.
But the ones that are really, really serious about this, the small population... that are not only
yes,
funding,
there is a small population that is serious and is dangerous, and I think we should watch them carefully. And if they commit
but
any violent acts, put them in jail.
No, they won't be doing things like showing up to bomb the mosque, a mosque that's on a temple mount. No, what they will be doing is brewing a war between Israel and Iran, with the United States thrown in, and then they'll march in and pick up the pieces and slaughter anybody who happens to be left over.
I mean, here's the thing. Israel and Iran are already on a very dangerous collision course, okay?
Yes.
Dangerous for everybody, for Israel, for Iran, for the United States. I, like you, pray that they will never be on that, you know, that this will be worked out peacefully. But I don't blame fundies really for that.
No,
it's
not, but... How easy would it be for somebody, for a organization like this, like one of these, like the Order or whatever, to provoke an incident that would start a war?
I'll tell you what, Susan, I got
really?
A lot of callers on the line.
Yeah.
Apparently
this
has really started quite a topic. I really enjoyed this. I will get back to you. I want to get some of these other callers in. Real quick, Bob Kincaid writes in the chat room, he says, no quid pro quo, Mark. What about Jesus Land, the theme park Israel is allowing Pat Robertson to be built? And I guess I have to say that, Bob, I have no problem with Jesus Land. My God, so it's a theme park. You know, I mean, they probably consider Disneyland to be evil and gay-centered and... So if they want to do their Jesus Land, I just see no harm, no foul. Gene, I want to give you a chance to respond to Susan, and then I want to get to Will from Chicago, who I think is a first-time caller. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, I tend to agree with most of what Susan said, although I kind of look as a bomb on the toilet as the start of the whole thing. And I want to just respond to Mr. Rohan. That was 1969, and we didn't have a fundamentalist government in the United States, and I'm going to argue that we now essentially do.
Okay. So you think the reaction would be different, that they, that
yes,
Russian madman would get a lot of support? You know, there's no way to really know until it happens. Let me go to Will from Chicago, who I think is a first-time caller. Will, are you a first-time caller?
Yes.
I love first-time callers. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. What's your view?
Well, first, while I was listening to this, I was reminded of a report I saw on 60 Minutes. I forget the name of the Israeli who commented on it, but I believe it was Ami Ayon, who was a recent candidate for head of the Labor Party, also a peace activist, ex-Navy
right.
guy, ex-Shin Bet, general security chief, who questioned
yeah.
why he should die for someone else's theology. I mean, while... I can understand the need to foster tourism. The problem with the relationship with some of the fundamentalists is that they have a political vision of Israel expanding to roughly the borders of Solomon's empire and then bringing about what's known as the left behind scenario. And
okay, well, I just to be clear, I accept all of that. I'm not disputing your facts. I don't doubt that there are a number of Christian fundies that want to see Israel to be as large as the temple, as the kingdom of David, which would include Jordan and most of Syria and Lebanon and so forth. They have that agenda. I accept that. How does their having that agenda practically affect anything? That's my question.
Well, to me, I just believe that in some cases you have to realize whom you're dealing with and try to make sure that you don't let yourself be too unduly influenced by others.
I mean, look, I accept everything everyone's saying about the Christian right. I have no illusions about them. I think Israel has no illusions about them either. But I think they're doing kind of what you know Susan said. They're sort of taking their money and watching their back. I mean, I don't see how their fundamentalist eschatology, end of days, you know, Armageddon type philosophy, which I find very troubling, but I don't really see it in practical terms affecting anything. And that's the point of view I'm trying to say the whole time. Gene, did you want to make a comment to Will?
No, other than my pretty much my agreement on what he's
okay.
saying.
Will, do you have a further comment?
No, but it's been good talking to you, and I'll keep listening.
Thanks for calling in. I hope you'll call in another day on another subject, too. All right, let me go to Malin, who has also called in. Boy, this subject has gotten a lot of phone calls. I think it's because when we all on the left agree on an issue, then nobody calls in because everyone says, okay, you know, go for it, Mark. We all agree with you. But when there's some disagreement, we get some phone calls, and that's why every now and then it's good to have disagreement, even among people on the horn. Malin, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
You should not take these people for granted. I have three or four churches in my vicinity, which is northwestern New Jersey, which is sixth wealthiest counties, Morris County, Somerset County, in the nation. And they have these flags, a big flagpole which has the American flag on top, and it has the Protestant flag, and then it has the Jewish national flag under that.
The Israeli flag.
The Israeli flag. And I am just so, when I go by and see that, I just, just a second. It really does make me think that there is something else going on. And
what does it make you think is going on? I mean, what's so they fly the Israeli flag? Why does that concern you?
I think the Jewish people are being taken by them. They are Nazis. There is no other way to say it. They are Christian Nazis.
They are Nazis. Well, now let's talk about that. The Nazis believed in genocide. They believed in murdering every Jewish person alive. You really think that's John Hagee's goal? Or any of the Christian fundies? I mean, there may be a few of them. Aryan Nation,
certainly.
I
think they are evil, evil people, and they will do whatever their mood strikes them or whatever they believe, even if it's not right. And I have very strong feelings against these new churches which have come in and sprung up all over North Jersey, and they are people from the South, the Midwest. They are not like the traditional Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian churches which we have. They are very, very active. And they are...
I guess, Malin, here's my problem.
Absolutely frightening.
I have a problem with, I guess, demonicization, all right? I have severe problems with fundies. And let me just make this very clear so that no one doubts my position and think I love fundamentalist Christians, okay? They are downright evil to gay people. What they do to gay teens, frankly, leads to lots of suicides and death. They're horrible to women. Their position on abortion would lead to lots of back-alley abortions. They are horrible to freedom of thought. Their views on evolution are ridiculous and harm scientists for decades to come. They have some very, very dangerous political positions that I violently disagree with. However, I don't consider them genocidal. I don't consider them Nazis. I don't. I think they
well,
are.
You must know different ones than I know.
You think
because
they want
the ones
genocide?
The that I know don't sound anything like the ones that I am used to hearing from.
What do you think their goal is? You really think their goal is to kill all the Jews?
You said it.
Okay. I mean, I understand. Look, I want you to say your view.
I'm not warning you. I'm just trying to get you to understand that as a Protestant, this is not of a Protestant vein like them, but they are not like the rest of the mainstream Protestant denominations.
Oh, I know they're not like mainstream Protestants. I know that. I got a lot of good friends who are mainstream Protestants. I have a lot of respect for mainstream Protestants. I know they're different. Frankly, just like I said, on gay rights and women's rights alone, their views are extremely offensive to me. Many of them are racist, too. But I don't see them as genocidal. I just don't. Gene, you see them as genocidal, too?
Well, I'm going to have to say that probably on the whole, yeah, I really honestly do see them as being very, and I realize that Reverend Hagee himself has said that Jews don't necessarily have to be saved. But I know a lot of other...
Which is huge for Christianity. You got to remember, for 2,000 years, Christians, many of them said, you know, take the cross or die. I mean, that, you know, the Inquisition...
You know, Mark, I, as a gay person, I would put myself in the same boat, and I feel the same... I would feel the same way about myself as what I'm telling you, because they are no good. They have no association with Christ, his teachings. They are simply victims of politics.
See, I will agree with you that they're mostly no good. I mean, I will agree with you that many of the things that they advocate, most of the things they advocate, 90% of the things they advocate.
I don't know what kind of people you have in Washington, but the ones that are down in New Jersey are I can't imagine what people in government. They must be just unbelievable.
See, I don't know. I guess I see it the same way I see, frankly, Iran on the other side. All right? I know the government of Iran is no good. I know it's dangerous. Certainly Ahmadinejad has denied the Holocaust and is talked about the destruction of Israel. I mean, he's an extremely dangerous man. But that doesn't make me dislike the Iranian people or think that they have anything to do with that. I think there are some crazy fundies around,
the fundies have nothing to do with the Iranians. They're not talking... They're not. That's not their issue. Their issue is to exterminate. Basically, I think that they're going back to the time of the Third Reich, and they're basically their same ideas that they had to get rid of.
Well, don't
the
you think that they're going to wait for Jesus' second coming at least before they pull out the sword?
I don't know. I'm not waiting.
but what would you have Israel do? Denounce them publicly? Is that what you're looking for?
Our own government won't do that. I wish I could change your attitude a little bit, but I guess I'm not going to be able to. So.
No, but that's okay because we're discussing it. That's all part of the thing. I just don't want you to think that I don't see the danger from them. I do see the danger. I don't really see it so much to the Jewish people, honestly, as I do to gay people and to women. But there's certainly, look, there's Aryan Nations, there are Christian Identity Movement. I can name for you neo-Nazi fundy movements, and they exist, and they are genocidal, all right? Aryan Nations, Christian Identity, they are genocidal. They're very dangerous. They're terrorist organizations. They are on FBI watch lists, and they should be. They're extremely dangerous organizations. I don't put John Hagee in that category.
Well, one thing I have to worry about right now is that my mother-in-law is here, and we're supposed to go to dinner, and I'm not dressed yet.
Well, Gene, thank you for having this debate with me. I hope you feel you got a word in edgewise. I know I was pretty strong in my views.
That's just my feelings from North Jersey and what I see and what I hear, because I've been to their churches, and I would not spend another second in that church any longer than I had to just to get through the service. So,
fair enough. Thank you, Gene, for participating in this debate. Let me say this.
Now, Mark,
I know you have to go. Let me just say this.
Have
if
nice
I were
evening.
To go ahead.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you, Gene, and thank you for bringing up this topic, which I never would have done without your help, and it certainly brought in a lot of callers. I guarantee you, if I went to one of those churches, I would feel extremely uncomfortable, just as if I were to go to a place where in a mosque that taught hatred or any other religion that taught hatred, including, frankly, a few radical Jewish sects. But in my view, sometimes you have to ally with people where you can find common ground. And for example, and I'll just give you something totally unrelated to Israel, if Christian fundamentalists and leftist progressive liberals can join together on the issue of the environment to protect this planet from global warming, even though we disagree on 99% of the other issues, then by all means, let's join hands and work to prevent global warming. Because it just seems to me that sometimes, as long as people aren't genocidal, and that may be where we all disagree, sometimes you have to look for very strange allies in very strange places. We should still work on them. Work on them to improve gay rights, work on them to improve women's rights, work on them to respect science. But at the same time, I think that where we can agree with them, I have no problem with that. But it's been a very interesting debate. Thank you, Gene Shinai. Thank you, Susan and Will and Malin. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Democratic Congress. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush could decide to claim executive privilege to prevent two more White House aides from testifying before Congress concerning the firings of several federal prosecutors. Tomorrow is the deadline for testimony from White House top political adviser Karl Rove. White House political aide J. Scott Jennings was also subpoenaed. Saudi Arabian leaders say they would eagerly welcome an international peace conference proposed by the U.S. for later this year. The conference is meant to revive peace talks stalled out for the last 6 years. Israel, the Palestinians, and moderate Arab states will all be included. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates arrived in the Middle East yesterday for a regional tour. The main Sunni Arab political bloc quit the new Iraqi government today, leaving behind the vice president and one cabinet member. White House spokesman Tony Snow says reconciliation efforts are being made and that the situation may not be as grave as it might look. A series of car bomb blasts rocked Baghdad today, killing at least 70 people. 100 were wounded. Three large bombs exploded in several crowded districts. The largest blast was that of a truck bomb, which exploded near a filling station west of the city. Also in eastern Baghdad today, an armor-piercing roadside bomb struck a military convoy, killing three U.S. soldiers and wounding six more. Fewer American troops were killed last month than at any time in the past 8 months. July was, however, the second deadliest month for Iraqi citizens. At least 2,024 were killed in sectarian violence. Afghan forces dropped leaflets over parts of southern Afghanistan in an attempt to alert its citizens of military action to free 21 South Korean hostages still being held by the Taliban. Russian diplomats say they'll hold a 10-day conference with the U.S. in Moscow to